Winona Forever is brought to you by the Cage Club Podcast Network. For more podcasts about movies and nostalgia, head on over to cageclub.me. Hi, I'm Lindsay Gibb.
And I'm Rekha Tulsaram.
And this is Winona Forever. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the home front episode of Winona Forever. This is a film that stars Jason Statham. Is very, I don't know, like when I first looked at it, I was misled as to what it would be about. I didn't read up on what it was about, but just looking at like the cover
and like the little image icon,
the image on Netflix, it's a completely different movie from what I expected. Yep. I also didn't like the picture is of Jason Statham, but he's like looking over his shoulder and he doesn't look like him enough that I didn't know it was him.
And because it's called Homefront, I thought it had to do with like terrorists or something.
Right. Yeah. Like,
oh, because of Homeland.
Which, right. Yeah. I don't know what I thought it was about. I think I said this on the last episode that I thought it was like going to be some very patriotic thing. Like it just looked like it was like down home kind of guy. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I think, is it in Louisiana? Is that where they are?
They shot like it was in New Orleans.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Cool. So Jason Statham, very confusing. I thought he was going to be American. He was British, which was what you want out of Jason Statham. He was the DEA agent who was undercover, and then the cover was blown, or I don't know. Basically,
he caught the bad guy.
Caught the bad guys.
But realized at the end that he was a cop.
Right. And then he killed
the bad guy's
son. He didn't kill his son. The cops did.
Yes, it's true.
But they blamed him because he was like one of the boys, I guess,
yeah,
as an undercover guy. And so then he takes his daughter. His wife has died at some point in this process. Don't know at what point.
But we don't know who she is, what she looks like, anything
about
her.
We never saw her. No. I thought somebody was listed as being his wife in the credit in the IMDb, but maybe it was the daughter. And yeah. I just thought, because she looked older. Anyways, whatever. So yeah, it's him and his daughter living in Louisiana. And there's a bad element around that are trying to like mess with his life. And he's just trying to have a quiet life. He's trying to be a retired DEA agent.
Mm-hmm.
But of course he comes upon drug people.
Yeah, he tries to get away from everything and hide out in a small town, basically, and start it over. And it is just, he chose the wrong town.
He sure did.
Ooh, boy. Because
Kate Bosworth
and it started with like a, right, you know, away, a domino effect of
it really,
incidents.
Yeah, so like his daughter is, he's taught her to be, you know, to take care of herself at school. So she's being bullied and she like kicks a guy in the face. Oh boy. And so then he gets called into the school and the mother of the kid who got kicked in the face is Kate Bosworth.
Yes.
Someone whose name I've heard before and would never know what she looks like to see her.
When Blue Crush came out, everybody around me, all the girls were obsessed with it. I don't know what that
I never saw. It's
just like a girl surfing movie.
She has two different colored eyes.
Oh.
I don't know if that's a thing people know about her, but I obviously know nothing about her. And I noticed while watching that she has like a green eye and a brown eye or something. Damn. Anyway, that was interesting. But she's a tough lady who's
just, yeah, she was
just
really
like,
good in this. I really liked her role, her performance. You know, I mean, I've seen her in Rules of Attraction playing.
Oh,
like,
I have seen her in that. Yeah.
And then and as a surfer in Blue Crush, which inspires young women to go into surfing, I'd say.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good.
and anyway, and this was like, I hadn't seen her anything else until now, until since then. But yeah, this was really, really good.
Yeah. She was a badass.
She played like a drugged out protective mom.
Yeah. Who really wanted to kick Jason Statham's ass or somebody to kick his ass because his daughter beat up her son.
Yes.
And then Jason Statham kind of beats up her husband because he starts to try and attack him when he's walking away. And he's Jason Statham. I think you're supposed to go, he's a DEA agent who's trained in like hand-to-hand combat or something. But like, he's just doing his action thing where he like beats everybody up.
Yeah. Nobody's tougher than him.
Right. So he takes that guy down, and then she, her brother is James Franco back again.
As Gator. Gator.
Gator.
Gator. Gator.
His name is Gator. And he's a meth, I want to say dealer, but more like manufacturer. Yes. Yes.
Yeah,
there you go. So yeah, he, and I guess he has henchmen. So he sends his henchmen after Jason Statham at a gas station, and then Jason Statham really kicks their asses and their faces and everything else, every other thing, until they're just left laying on the ground. And it's just a wake of people trying to stop him that keep getting beat up by him, even though he's just trying to have a quiet life.
Just trying to live his life. But he can't.
Yeah. So, and then Winona takes about half the movie to show up.
Yeah. I was like, is she actually in this movie? What's going on?
Like, everybody
else. I was
like,
am I watching the wrong film?
Right. She was like third billed in the credits at the beginning.
She was third billed.
She took a long time to show.
Yeah.
Her face. And then she was Gator's, I think, like partially business partner, also
business
maybe
partner
partially girlfriend?
In like this drug operation.
Yes.
Biker chick.
Yes.
As Winona in the trivia, she says, on IMDb.
Yes.
In the trivia
you know
that I'm referring to. So about accepting the part because it allowed her to explore something new. She said, what's creepy is that she's sober and she's running this drug operation with James Franco's character. And to me, it's the epitome of evil in a weird way. If it's possible to be a victim and be diabolical at the same time, I had never explored that. There was also a slightly campy arm candy element to her that appealed to me. She's such a complete chick. She's what you think of when you hear the words biker chick.
I'd say.
Yeah.
What did you think of her hair? Like, her hair immediately stood out to me, not just because we always talk about it lately, but because it's so long.
It was very long and curly and like Shakira, you know?
Yeah.
That style.
It was going all over the place. Mm-hmm. Like, I think I wrote down it's a mess at first because I couldn't tell like where different parts of it were coming from.
Yeah, there was a lot. I thought the funniest part was seeing her drive a boat.
Yeah. Was she actually driving the boat? Chris has not watched the movie, but he's laughing at the prospect of her driving a boat.
It's like they're powering up. Yeah, she's standing up and she's powering away in this.
Was it her? I was kind of like looking down while I was writing and looking up.
It must have been a stunt person.
I think it was. Yeah.
Because there's no way I don't believe it.
It was going too fast.
Yeah. It was at nighttime. It was dark.
Yeah.
You only saw the silhouette, so I don't know if it was actually her. But if she operated a boat, well, hello, more power to you.
Yeah, good job learning how to operate a boat. Yeah, I really thought like midway through her arriving in the movie, so like almost towards the end of the movie, I guess, I was like, okay, what do I feel about her in this movie and what do I feel about why she would have chosen this movie? And I did think it was exactly what she ended up saying about it in interviews, that it was just something she'd never done before. It was like, you know, a role that was outside of her like normal wheelhouse. And so she wanted to try something new, which I can commend.
Yep.
Even if I don't feel like it was the greatest for her, but I'm sure
she had fun maybe driving the boat or just like, you know,
driving the boat.
Capturing a kid and throwing her into a box, you know, things like that.
Which I felt like that was the moment where it's like, what she's saying there about how she's like both the victim and the like evil person. Like, I feel like she was kind of rescuing the kid,
but then didn't know what the hell she was doing with it. Like, she's like, I wouldn't know what to do here, but
yeah. Basically, if you didn't watch this movie along with us, Winona and James Franco sell Jason Statham out to the people, like the
biker gang
that originally he was running with, and that he was like
convicted the lead guy of or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
So the guy's in prison.
So
they come to
kill him. It does not work out well for anyone involved because Winona and Franco do it because they think that they're going to get like distribution for their meth.
Yeah, they thought they were going to get a business deal out of it.
Those guys are like, no, we're not going to give you any deal. We just want him and to kill him. And they bring like so many people for this big like machine gun shootout.
Yeah, at his house.
I mean, you expect a lot of action in a Jason Statham movie. And I feel like we got it. So like, what can you, how can you argue?
It's fine. And also Sylvester Stallone wrote it.
Yes.
So that's also a thing. And apparently he wrote it as like another continuation of Rambo.
Really?
Yeah. Like this is where Rambo would have ended up.
Retired. And then people still originally messing with him. Interesting.
And he wrote it a really long time ago. Like, okay. And then he wrote it for himself and it never got made, blah, blah, blah. But there was one review that like gave it like a Rotten Tomato and it said something about it feeling like it was from the early 80s. I'm like, is that a bad thing?
Right.
I'm like, there's nothing wrong with the movie feeling like it's from the early 80s. In fact, that's, you know, probably where a lot of the better movies came from. I don't know.
I feel like we've been really down on a lot of Winona's movies lately, and this one is not necessarily better, but like I had such low expectations for it that I enjoyed this movie.
Yeah, I really didn't mind this movie at all. I was like, okay, this I can watch.
It was, I think, watchable. Too, Joey, when he told us, Joey, who runs the Cage Club podcast network, he told us that we were going to get Franco again in this terrible movie. So I really had low expectations. Oh. And I haven't watched that many Jason Statham action movies, but this is very much in line with those movies.
And I've been watching a lot of like those weird, you know, small town, you go south and some weird small townies are causing trouble. Like those are a lot of like TV shows or series that are popular now, like Bloodline and things like that. Mm-hmm. So it had a really familiar feel to it and I liked it. And like the pacing was kind of different and
I felt like I enjoyed it a lot. I especially enjoyed when, so the whole thing is that what's his name, Gator, let's just call him Gator, he's James Franco, Gator, he breaks into Jason Statham's house and like immediately in the basement, this is like so ridiculous, he finds like he's got all these boxes which I think are all his like case files, which I don't think an undercover agent would get to keep his case files, but
right,
whatever.
And if you're hiding you wouldn't just keep them out just like
in your
so
basement
easily,
out in the
know,
open.
Yeah,
the basement also seems to walk right out. Like when she's hiding there, when the shootout happens, she can just walk
basement.
Straight outside.
Yeah, it's not really a protected house. No. And if you're really that afraid of like, you know, people coming to get you, then
it's not a good house for that.
Nah.
Well, I guess he thought he was getting away from it all and nobody was going to come
right.
get him. But still, like, why did he, like, if he was trying to escape the DEA, like if he retired and whatever, like why take your case files with you?
And the one day, you know, when they knew that he knew the biker gang was coming to get him.
Yeah.
They waited so long at that house.
Yeah,
they
could
have just taken off.
Yeah.
Immediately. But they were like packing up. They were having a talk and they were doing this.
The friend comes to get their horses.
Really late. I'm like, why does he only come in? Why is he
leaving?
It's nighttime.
Yeah, yeah.
Get out of there.
Right.
Don't you want to go?
So ridiculous.
Of course, yeah. So the token black guy gets shot, you know.
Did he die?
He didn't die, but he gets shot. But he sacrifices his life in the name of this dude.
Friend. Yeah. This like kind of friend. Like, yeah. He hasn't been there that long.
Yeah. Like, it was like the Shining scene, you know, like the.
What was I going to say? So Gator goes through these case files, barely goes through them, finds all the evidence he needs to say that, oh, he was this undercover guy. Oh, he is responsible for the death of this famous like biker dude's son, all this stuff. Oh, we could sell him to that guy. Anyway, just ridiculous information that he could get right away. But my favorite thing was that the daughter's cat was missing after that, which I didn't notice that Gator stole the cat, but I guess he did.
Oh, yeah, because he picked it up and I was like, what the hell is he going to do with the cat? I thought he was just going to kill it, but he didn't.
No. So the cat was found. Jason Statham finds it at his meth lab and he does. My two favorite things are he rewires the whole place so that the light bulbs have gasoline in them or something.
Yeah,
some kind of fuel.
Yeah.
So that when they turn on the lights,
the whole thing will catch on fire and explode.
So that was amazing. And then the second thing,
I was like, ring that up,
was that the guys he beat up at the gas station find him there and beat him up, knock him out, zip tie his hands behind his back. And then he proceeds, when he becomes conscious again, he fights them with his hands zip tied behind his back and then turns on a table saw and cuts it off from behind his back, yeah. like as if he wouldn't cut his hands off. But anyway,
I thought he would later use the running table saw to like, you know, really
throw it at them or something. Or
like hit some guy into it, you know?
Right.
I was I think hoping. He had some good I don't know moves. Why was I hoping for that, but anyway.
Well, when there's that much action that's just like flying everywhere, you're like, what else is going to happen?
Yeah.
Yeah.
do you know that, what's his name? James Franco adopted the cat from the set.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And actually there was two cats. There was, and he got both of them.
Oh, so that's nice. So great.
Yeah.
I love that story.
It was a cute little cat.
Yeah, it was. It was a kitten or something. I didn't realize that when the daughter was holding it. I thought it was like full grown cat.
It's very small. It was small.
We have Pruitt Taylor Vince back again. Mm-hmm. We saw him, in Simone? Or Simone?
Oh, yeah. Simone.
Moan. And I mentioned at that time that he was in Drive Angry with Nicolas Cage, so that was my thing. But apparently he's in Stranger Things also. It says in 2017, so was that season two?
I'm trying to think where he was. I could see he probably was like a guard or something. I can't remember.
When we get there, we'll
mention he was in the movie Heavy. I think I told you we mentioned this, and directed by James Mangold. Uh-huh. And James Mangold later directed Girl Interrupted. And now he's directed Ford versus Ferrari, which I don't really get. But
so yes, to my Nicolas Cage tie-ins. The one thing about James Franco in New Orleans is that the only movie Nicolas Cage ever directed is Sunny, and James Franco was the star. And it's kind of interesting because the Sylvester Stallone thing, like Sylvester Stallone wrote this thing for himself, mm-hmm. and then Jason Statham ends up being him. Nicolas Cage optioned Sonny for himself, but then ended up directing it later in life. Oh. So he got James Franco to play the character that he wanted to play, and it's set in New Orleans. So he's back again. Wow. Who knows? He could have, I don't know. I don't have a real hold on James Franco's career. He could have done other New Orleans things than those two things, but those are the ones I know and have watched.
Mickey Rourke was considered for the lead role.
Really?
Which I can see.
Who's okay? So I read that Sly asked. Sly. Just gonna call him Sly. I feel like the article I read called him Sly in this context. So I just wrote
I think
down,
he'd appreciate Sly. It.
Asked Jason Statham to do this when they were working on Expendables 2, and he agreed to it.
Oh,
who else was in that? Like, was Mickey Rourke? I don't know. There's
don't
so
know
many like
Expendables.
Older dudes. Oh, Expendables is like a series of like action movies with like older action guys. Expendables. So the first one had Sylvester Stallone, Jason Statham, Jet Li, Dolph Lundgren, Eric Roberts, Steve Austin.
Oh my God.
Lots of people like that. And then the second one called Back for War. had. Oh.
Apparently, Dolph Lundgren was interested in this script.
Oh, really?
Hmm.
Jean-Claude Van Damme was in the second one. A lot of the same people that we said. Chuck Norris, Bruce Willis, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Terry Crews. They really had a lot of people in that one. Three. I wonder if it had even more. Antonio Banderas, Harrison Ford, Mel Gibson, Wesley Snipes.
Oh my God.
Holy crap. Kelsey Grammer. That's a weird one. That's a twist. Production. Anyways. So yeah, that's, they're all Sylvester Stallone's in all of them, but, I have not watched any of them. I had intentions of watching the first one because I was like, yeah, that's all right. I'd watch those guys fight people, blow shit up, but. So that's how this kind of how Jason Statham became the one. But yes, at the beginning, did you feel like he was putting on an American accent when he was the biker?
I didn't notice.
It was very hard to tell because he didn't say enough things. Yeah. But I was like listening, like, is he going to be American in this? I don't think I want that. And then he wasn't. And I was like, good, because I don't think that's what I don't know. He may have done American characters.
I don't know.
But I've never seen it.
I've never seen it.
And I don't want to. Sorry. His accent's so good. He's just, it's appropriate the way that
right.
It is.
Yeah, there's no point in changing it.
No. Yeah, my notes are ridiculous. It's like, where's the cat?
What's happening?
Oh, got the cat. I literally wrote everything I thought.
The daughter was pretty good.
Yeah, she was good.
Yeah. I liked the beginning scene where she just like
kicks the kid's ass.
The bully was like, pushed her. She's like, no, you don't want to do that.
She's like, I asked you nicely.
The bully takes her hat. She's like, I asked you twice. I asked you twice to give me my hat back nicely. And then she just punches him and then whams him.
Yeah.
Gives him a nosebleed.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah.
And Clancy Brown is the sheriff.
Yes, that guy always plays someone like so like evil or like, you know, sinister.
Yeah. He also is Mr. Krabs on SpongeBob.
Oh,
so
twist.
Not always. Twist indeed.
Mr.
I think he's Mr. Krabs. I enjoy, yeah, Clancy Brown, I feel like maybe is in some stuff where he's bad. I don't know. Yeah, Mr. Krabs. Anyway.
Do we see Winona drive a car in this one? I'm pretty sure she does.
Yes.
She does.
I think so.
Yeah.
I feel like when she's...
She pulls up to like Franco's house or whatever. His barn or shed or whatever it is.
Yeah. Oh, I wish I'd noted for sure. But I think I'm pretty
sure she
pretty
does,
likely. Because yeah. She also has to go meet Cyrus. Is that who she meets? And I wrote down, anybody named Cyrus is never good.
Nope. That's definitely not good. The lead guy of the biker gang who comes to town to kill Jason Statham, it says in the trivia that he was actually like ex-president of the Hells Angels Los Angeles.
Oh.
So he wasn't like reaching much for his role.
Yeah, has he played many other characters or is he strictly a biker in things?
That is Sons of Anarchy. That sounds about right.
Okay, there you go. That's more bikers, right?
Yep.
I haven't watched it, but I believe that to be true.
Oz, that's also...
Winona was pretty good, I think.
Yep.
She was fine.
She's fine.
It wasn't totally the best Winona moments. I think particularly, I thought she was decent at it, like, in the beginning.
I think generally the women were just kind of, like, underdeveloped.
True. There is that also. But when, like, she was good when she was meeting Cyrus at the crawfish place or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, she was supposed to be allergic to it, and she was kind of acting a little like, this is, you know, I'm, like, covering her face and stuff, and then dealing with, yeah, she had the nuance of that, I think, scene down.
Yeah.
But there was a part during the shootout where she phones James Franco to be like, this is all going to hell, and she goes, fuck this noise, I'm out of here, and I don't know, there was just something about that I didn't buy.
Oh, really?
I wasn't as into that part. I was like, oh, she's not. I'm not feeling this part.
It's a weird
part.
Line. It's a weird line.
I don't know. Yeah. You know, it's fine. I'm being nitpicky. But I had to, like, take notes on Winona specifically. So that was my note. But, yeah. Kidnaps the girl. And then, I don't know, she gives her back or something or gets arrested.
Yeah.
Basically.
Back to jail she goes.
Mm-hmm.
She had like a mugshot earlier.
Oh yeah,
because Jason Statham
was previously.
Yeah.
That's how he found her. That's right. Shot. Yeah. I didn't hate it.
Yep.
Found it kind of exciting to watch.
Not bad. I made a mistake in the last podcast. I called Luna Lovegood.
Oh yes, I noticed actually when you were
Grove.
Saying it.
I called her Love Grove, but it's Lovegood.
Right.
Meeps made me.
Fix that.
Yeah, fix that.
Yeah, at the time I was like, what
same shit.
It's fine. Yeah, that was that movie.
That was that movie.
I wrote down that it had a stupid ending because he goes to the jail at the end to see the guy. I almost felt like, is this going to be like a part? There's a potential for part two. And I was like, no, we don't need part two. But it wasn't really that. It was like, you go to the jail and the guy that's like the mob boss or whatever, he's not a mob, but you know, bike gang mob boss guy, whatever. He comes up to the phone and answers it. And then it's Jason Statham on the other side of the glass or whatever. And he's just kind of like, I'm on the other side. I'm still alive. They didn't kill me. See you on the outside type thing. And that's the end. I was like, meh, meh.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird ending.
Silly, silly ending. But
it had to end somewhere.
Not just on everybody being carted away to jail and I him guess. And the daughter like being like, we've got our cat. And
yeah,
our
I thought they would like ride off into the sunset or something. I don't know.
Yeah, it's true. They could have done that. Could have shown us whether his friend was still alive.
You know?
You know, back to check out on that guy.
Yeah.
Whatever.
He served his purpose.
Right? We assume he said, you're going to be okay, buddy, to him or whatever. So it's like pal or whatever he called him. The character's name was Tito.
Of course.
So there you go. Tito.
Oh, Lord.
Cool. So that was Homefront. Not terrible. You check it out to see Jason Statham with long hair. You only have to watch the first few moments of the movie to see him with long hair. It's probably happened in other things, too, but it's just not the way I'm used to seeing him. He is a bald man.
He's bald man.
And Winona with long hair. Lots of long hair going on in this movie.
Yeah. The hair.
Yeah.
The wig of the Jason Statham's hair at the beginning, you mean? Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty bad.
It was ooh, ridiculous. Lord. I was like, wow, I'm in. I'm in for this movie.
I'm in.
It's going in weird places. And, you know, a character named Gator. There's all kinds of things. There's so many reasons to watch this. The friend said, Tito said, they call him Gator for some dumbass reason.
Yeah. So he had an alligator tattoo.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Oh, my. I almost feel like I need to watch this again to catch
it. It was one of the first shots
moments.
Of him.
Wow. I was just not looking at the screen quite enough. I took way too many notes.
It's a lot of notes.
I did a lot of notes. Everything I thought, I wrote down. Oh, well. So I noticed that Anne tweeted about a New York Times.
Yeah.
You're about to talk
I was
about it?
Talk
okay.
About that. Yeah,
please do, because I haven't read it.
It's the oral history of Little Women, the adaptation, 94 adaptation. So this,
the new adaptation
lady.
Now, right?
Yeah.
So everybody's talking about it again.
So this is about the 94 one.
Yeah.
And what's her name? Ashley Spencer, for 6 months, interviewed the cast and got like this cool detailing. But we just learned like so much. And I wanted to bring up that there's a couple things. So Winona said in one of the things that Little Women was the only movie of hers that she could stand to watch.
Okay.
So like, you know, she'd, you know, if it's on, she wouldn't change the channel. She'd be like,
right.
Okay, I could do this, you know.
It's cool.
Yeah.
She likes the ensemble,
so it's good to know, like, that's the, you know, out of all the movies that she's made, Little Women is the one that sticks with her.
Interesting.
I'm like, it's validating. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah, because you agree.
I agree. there was a lot of cool trivia, just generally. Like Claire Danes, she's basically cast because of her chin quiver. Like
she can be the sad character.
They were just like, oh, wow, her sad face is just unbelievable in that chin quiver.
Right.
Her infamous cry got her the role.
Yeah, yeah. Interesting.
And they knew about the you know, the Christian Bale saliva.
Oh.
So they knew about that, and they were just like, they kept it in, and it was like important. And
it became important.
It became
scene.
Important. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. And what's his name? Eric Stoltz had a crush on Susan Sarandon.
I think Anne mentioned that in her tweet. That's amazing.
Yeah. Lots of good things about Little Women.
So was that the Twitter stuff that you said? There's stuff on Twitter that you need to
Twitter,
talk about?
The Little Women
nice.
Stuff.
It's exciting.
It is exciting.
So yeah, go read that. It's out there. Sweet. All right. That was this one. That was Homefront. What's happening next? So the next one is a TV movie, but I have it, so we can trade it around if you have any trouble finding it. Turks and Caicos.
Turks and Caicos.
Let's do this one. We didn't do the last TV movie, but we will somewhere at the end. But this has Bill Nighy and Christopher Walken in it, so I think we need to do it. I advocate that we do Turks and Caicos. And Winona's top billed. She's like first.
Okay, let's see if we believe
that she's in it the most.
We'll have to see. We'll see again.
All right. So in 2 weeks.
See you
prepare
next time
for Turks and Caicos.
Bye.
Winona Forever is part of the Cage Club Podcast Network. Episodes produced by Chris Landry. Music by No Refunds. Hosted by Lindsay Gibb and Rekha Tulsaram. Contact Rekha and Lindsay at winona@cageclub.me.